He stopped and knelt beside the body of Jacob Wolf.
He should never have come with us. He was getting too old for this, but he wouldn't listen. He never listened. What are we going to tell Constance?
I'll tell her. I'm the wolf now, regrettable though that may be. Valentine waited for Daniel to object, but all the strength seemed to have gone out of him, and he remained kneeling beside his dead father. Valentine turned away, and his gaze fell upon Razor. The investigator still had his sword in his hand, but he was surrounded by men armed with disruptors. He didn't look at all beaten, just outnumbered. Valentine moved across to him, carefully stepping over the bodies, and bowed courteously.
I congratulate you on your survival, investigator. It would be a shame to lose such talents as yours.
David and I finally dueled him to a standstill,
said Kit Summerisle.
Took everything we had, though.
You will both be rewarded. Clan Wolf remembers its friends.
He looked back at Razor.
Be our friend, investigator. Your fight here is over. Clan Campbell is broken and dispersed. You are free to join us, or leave, as you wish.
Razor nodded once, sheathed his sword, and walked toward the door. Valentine gestured, and everyone fell back to give Razor plenty of room. He left and shut the door behind him, and everyone in the room relaxed a little. No one had really wanted to take on an investigator again, not even Kid Death and the Deathstalker, both of whom had a sneaking suspicion Razor had really only surrendered because he saw the main fight was over. Valentine looked thoughtfully at the surviving Campbell troops and gestured at the door, and they filed out quickly before he changed his mind. Valentine smiled. He could have had them killed, but it was important to establish the new wolf as an honorable man. Besides, he might need to hire them someday, or others like them, and it never hurt to build up a little goodwill among the mercenary community, especially after cutting down some of his own men.
You fought well, Valentine,
said Kit.
If a trifle indiscriminately. I have to say, you did much better than your reputation led me to believe, given your unusual lifestyle.
Valentine smiled easily.
Battle drugs, the very latest, fresh off the military shelf. I've always believed there's a chemical for every occasion.
The young Deathstalker sniffed.
Drugs again. I might have known.
He might have been going to say something more, but at that point he saw the look in Valentine's mascaraed eyes and decided he'd said enough. For all the garish paint on his face, this new Valentine seemed altogether more forceful and self-assured. It was as though the vague, inconsequential dreamer they'd known up till now had been nothing but a mask, discarded now that it was no longer needed, to reveal the true face beneath. Kid Death studied the new wolf thoughtfully and said nothing. Valentine smiled and turned to his troops.
You've done well. There will be bonuses for all of you. Now start clearing up. I want the bodies taken out and the carpenters brought in. As from now, this is Tower Wolf, and I want all the mess out of here and the windows replaced before tonight. I think I'm going to move in here. There's a marvelous view.
What about Finlay?
What about him?
He escaped, alive and intact. He's out there somewhere, the last surviving Campbell of note. He'll make a dangerous loose end. There's always the chance he might gather the lesser Campbell cousins around him and unite them against you.
Even assuming our people don't catch up with him, he won't start anything. He knows he'd lose. Dear Finlay will follow the better part of valor and go to ground. He'll take a new face and a new identity, and that will be the end of Clan Campbell. Bad cess to the name. Though it must be said the court will seem a far duller place without his delightful outfits to brighten it up. Fashion will never be the same again.
I'm glad I got the chance to see Crawford brought down. He never liked me.
We were glad to have you with us. You will not find us ungrateful.
Here, that this...
Quayen clapped David on the shoulder.
I told you you'd see some real action if you stuck with me. Now, I don't know about you, but somewhere a long, cold drink is calling my name. Let's go and find it.
damn right. Nothing like honest work to give you a thirst.
They walked out together, David laughing at some comment of Kit's. Valentine watched them go, and Daniel moved in beside him.
Shouldn't we have said something about the knife in Summerall's back?
Oh, I'm sure someone will mention it to him. Valentine shrugged dismissively and moved over to the great wooden table. He looked down into one of the monitors, and a cyber-rat face grinned back at him. Valentine nodded courteously.
My thanks for your help in this. You have my word as Wolf that as soon as the Campbell's advanced technology is in our hands, it will be made available to you, so that we can both share in its uses.
That's all we ever wanted. We'd have been just as happy to make a deal with the Campbells, but they just turned up their noses and wouldn't talk to the likes of us. Serves them right. No one does that to the cyber rats and gets away with it. Nobody. Talk to you later, Wolf.
The monitor screen went blank. Valentine nodded thoughtfully. He looked up and gestured to Daniel, who moved over to join him.
I'd really like to be alone now, Daniel, just for a while. This has all been very sudden and unexpected, and I need some time to put my thoughts in order. Will you take the news back to Constance and Stephanie after all? I think they might take it better from you.
If that's what you want. We belong?
I shouldn't think so. Take the troops with you. They can start work later.
Daniel nodded and looked back at their father's body. The troops had laid it out respectfully to one side, away from the carnage.
I often wished he was dead, but I never really thought he would die. That he'd always be there looking out for us and messing with our lives. He was always so alone. I don't know what I'm going to say to Constance.
You'll think of something. You're a wolf.
Daniel realized after a pause that Valentine had said all he was going to say. He nodded quickly, gathered up the troops with his eyes, and left the room without looking back. The troops followed him out, and Valentine waited patiently till they were all gone. He strolled over to the chair at the head of the table and sat down. He stretched out his legs and smiled slowly. For the moment, Daniel was too shocked to do anything but go along with him. That wouldn't last long once he'd explained the situation to Stephanie. They were in for a few surprises. Just like dear dead Dad, who never once imagined that his useless and despised son might be the instrument of his death. Valentine ran the memory through again, savoring it. The knife and the blood and the look on Jacob's face as he crumpled to the ground. He'd only caught a glimpse of it, but a glimpse had been enough. He should have done it years ago. He'd made a good start, but there was still much to be done. He commanded the clan by the right of inheritance, but he still had to consolidate his power base. There were any number of lesser cousins who'd be happy to support a claim by Daniel or Stephanie if they thought they could profit by it. But he had a powerful ally in the Cyberrats, only too ready to support him in return for access to the Campbell technology. The contracts for the new star drive would fall into his hands now that the main competition had been eliminated. And not forgetting the AIs on Shub, who would no doubt be just as happy to deal with him as they had with the Campbells. He'd always known a good intelligence network would pay off. Valentine smiled. Life was good. Unexpected developments. The Sunstrider came howling out of hyperspace and plunged straight into the atmosphere of the planet Chandrakor. Smoke and fire billowed around the stricken craft as it plunged through the thickening air. The stem was a ragged wound, and fragments of outer hull tumbled away as the ship bucked and heaved in the turbulent atmosphere. The Sunstrider had taken a hell of a beating from the two Imperial Star Cruisers that ambushed it off Mistworld, and now it fell like a stone toward the unknown surface below. What was left of the outer hull blazed an angry crimson from the heat of re-entry, and the inner skin was warped and twisted. The Yacht had never been intended to make planetfall without its force screens operating, It had also never been intended to take the kind of punishment Imperial Star Cruisers could hand out, and it was something of a miracle that the ship had held together so long. The Sunstrider fell, its engines cutting in and out as one system after another failed. Inside the crippled ship, Owen Deathstalker hung on to a handy stanchion for dear life, thrown this way and that by the shuddering descent. The lounge extractors were struggling to clear thick, choking smoke out of the air, and the emergency lighting flashed on and off in sudden surges. Hazel Dark and Ruby Journey had wedged themselves between the drinks cabinet and the inner wall and were fighting to stay there. At least it offered some protection from the unsecured furniture and fittings flying about the lounge like bulky shrapnel. Jack Random had found a quiet area and was riding the sudden dips and rises with practiced ease, suggesting the professional rebel had traveled on his share of crashing ships in his time.
Probably has, thought Owen as he glanced about him through the drifting smoke for the Hayden man.
Tobias Moon had wedged a chair into one corner of the lounge and was sitting there at his ease. He looked entirely calm and relaxed, and Owen felt very much like hitting him on general principles. It was all he could do to remain vaguely upright and keep his last meal down where it belonged.
Oz, talk to me! What's happening?
The crashing, Evan, you must have noticed.
The crackling of a nearby fire suddenly sounded a lot closer than it had been, and the air grew uncomfortably warm.
I meant, what are you doing about it? Give me a status report!
All right, but you're not going to like it. At the moment, the vast majority of systems are doing everything they can just to hold the ship together. We've taken extensive damage inside and out, and it is continuing. Multiple breaches of the outer and inner hulls, and the stem is gone. There are fires in three compartments, but I'm on top of it. We're losing air and pressure badly, but at the rate we're falling, we'll crash into something hard and unyielding long before air loss becomes a problem.
Owen winced.
What are our chances of walking away from a landing?
Not good. The force shields are down, and we don't have the power to raise them again. The Sunstrider was never intended to take punishment like this. It's a pleasure yacht, not a gunship. Most of the automatics are down, and the backup systems are sitting in a corner crying their eyes out. I'm having to run everything directly and juggle power back and forth between the systems according to what's working. There is some good news. The basic structure of the ship is still pretty much intact, which is just as well, as I have absolutely no information on how to repair it.
Have we got any life pods or anti-grav chutes?
Yelled Hazel.
Could we bail out if we had to?
You do have to, and no, you can't. With all the power and safety systems built into this ship, no one ever thought emergency evacuation systems would be needed. We've got a waterbed in the main stateroom. You could chuck that out and hope you landed on it.
Jack Random looked across at Owen. Interesting sense of humor your AI has. Yeah. The ship convulsed, and everyone was thrown from one side of the lounge to the other. The drinks cabinet overturned, and there was broken glass everywhere. There was a high-pitched screech from somewhere aft, and then the ship righted itself again. The extractors had sucked most of the smoke out of the air, but the fire next door sounded closer than ever. The wall Owen was leaning against was growing uncomfortably hot.
All right. What the hell just happened?
We just lost the stern assembly. I'm jettisoning everything that isn't absolutely essential. It won't make a lot of difference in the long run, but I've run out of anything else to do.
Wait just a minute. What do you mean, jettisoning? As in dropping extremely expensive items overboard? Do you know how much I paid for this yacht?
Yes, and they saw you coming. If we survive this, you could always ask for your money back, or claim it on the insurance.
It isn't bloody insured!
Jack Random looked at the Hayden man. Didn't you just know he was going to say that?
Owen! Shut the hell up and let the AI get on with it! He's in the best position to know what's necessary!
All right. Assuming by some miracle we survive the landing, what's waiting for us down there? Will the planet support human life?
Air and gravity are within acceptable limits. Nothing you can't cope with. It's pretty damn hot down there, though.
It doesn't matter. It's not as if we had any choice in the matter. Description of landmasses, please.
Did you hear that? He said, please! I'm glad there's someone on this ship with a few manners. Landmasses. Just the one, stretching from pole to pole, with a handful of inland seas. Unusual. The landmass is covered with varying degrees of jungle. Life signs all over the place, big and small, but no indications of intelligent life. No starport, no cities, no gatherings of artificial structures. In fact, no structures at all that I can see. However, I do have a location for one structure in my memory files, courtesy of your father, Owen. Exact coordinates for the last standing of the original Deathstalker. However, I have to say I see nothing at all where it's supposed to be. I can only assume it's shielded in some way.
The last standing. This is where he came and made his stand against the Shadow Men. It's been a legend in my family for generations.
What happened when they finally met?
No one knows. None of them were ever seen again. Head for the coordinates, Oz. Put us down as close to it as you can.
The ship shook again, and then steadied itself.
That was the last remnants of the outer hull, Owen. All we've got left now is the basic shell. I've managed to steer us into a glide path that has steadied our descent, but unfortunately we now have a new problem.
Hit me with it.
I cannot continue to hold this ship together and pilot us in for a safe landing. The moment I release my hold on the ship's systems to computer landing, they'll fall apart so fast it'll make your head spin. But if I don't work out an exact plan for our landing, we're going to end up scattered over a hell of a lot of jungle. I'm open to suggestions, including prayer.
Owen realized everyone was looking at him and shook his head quickly.
Sorry, people. I just bought the ship. I haven't a clue on how to fly it. That's what I put Oz in for. Hazel, you're a pilot. Why don't you take over?
Because I'm not qualified to handle anything this complex. And in a situation like this, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Ruby?
The bounty hunter shook her head.
Same as you. You need an expert.
Then I guess it's down to me, as always. I've flown everything else in my time. I don't see why this should be any different. So here I come again to save the day.
That won't be necessary. I'm a Hayden man. I have experience as a pilot, and I can interface directly with the ship's computers. You haven't flown a ship in years, Random, and you are not what you used to be. Logically, I have to be the better bet.
I'm supposed to trust my life to a Hayden man who thinks he can talk to computers. Great. Wonderful. Why don't I just shoot myself now and get it over with?
Stop complaining or I'll help you. Moon, we're in your hands.
The Hayden man nodded briefly, his face impassive. He closed his glowing golden eyes, and his breathing slowed until it was barely perceptible. Owen watched him closely. He was desperate to do something, but all he could do was watch and hope. The Hayden man's voice suddenly sounded through all their comm implants.
I'm patched into the flight computers through my implant. Hang on to something. The ride's about to get a bit bumpy.
The ship rolled sickly from one side to the other as the engine suddenly roared with new life and purpose. The lights flickered and grew dim, and a side door blew open. Flames burst into the lounge from the Inferno in the next compartment. Owen threw himself aside, and the heat of the flames passing scorched his bare face and hands. Jack Random tried to close the door, but the heat drove him back. Hazel and Ruby Journey picked up the drinks cabinet between them and advanced on the flames, using it as a shield. They pushed back the flames, but couldn't let go of the cabinet long enough to make a grab for the door. Owen plunged forward, put his shoulder to the door, and slammed it shut. Hazel and Ruby wedged the cabinet against the door to keep it closed, and then all three collapsed on the shaking floor. Owen studied his hands carefully. They were red and smarting, but didn't seem to be actually burned. He'd been lucky. He looked up sharply as the roar of the engines faltered and then cut out. The ship dropped like a stone. Owen's stomach lurched, and he looked round for something to grab onto. The sudden quiet was deafening, and the fall seemed to go on forever. And then the engines roared to life again, slowing the descent like a kick in the pants. The Sunstrider slowed and slowed, and then the engines cut out again. And Owen knew that was the last of their power. The ship crashed into the top of the jungle, smashing through the trees. The impact picked Owen up and threw him against the wall. And that was the last he knew of the landing. His head ached, but he could hear the crackle of flames nearby, and he knew that was important. He opened his eyes, wasted some breath on a few curses, and then forced himself back to his feet. The floor was steady again, though at something of an angle, but his legs weren't. He stamped his feet and shook his head to clear it. He'd be weak later when there was time. He looked around him, coughing painfully as the thickening smoke irritated his lungs. The fire in the next compartment had blown away the door and what was left of the drinks cabinet and had taken a firm hold on one wall of the lounge. Oz, talk to me. Status report.
It was only quiet and the rising roar of the flames. He heard someone coughing close at hand and stumbled forward through the smoke to find Hazel trying to drag a semi-conscious Ruby Journey toward the far door. He grabbed hold of Ruby's leathers, helped haul her over to the door, and kicked it open. There was only a flickering light in the corridor beyond it, but the air seemed clearer.
Head straight on, and you'll get to the main airlock. You get your friend out. I'll bring the others. Move it!
Hazel snarled something in return, but he'd already turned away. He raised his cloak up over his mouth and nose and plunged back into the smoke. It was already so thick he couldn't see more than a foot or so ahead of him. He found Jack Random by almost falling over him. The old rebel was crawling along the floor, down where the smoke was thinnest, but he'd lost all sense of direction. Owen helped him up and got him to the far door. He sent Jack after Hazel and Ruby, and then hesitated in the doorway. Tobias Moon was still in there, but Owen didn't know if he had it in him to go back into the smoke again. His lungs were aching, and his head was swimming. If he went back into the lounge again, there was a good chance he might not be able to make it out again. And Moon was a Hayden man, after all, just as Owen was only an outlaw. He swore dispassionately and went back into the smoke. Finding the Hayden man was easier than finding the others. He was still where Owen had last seen him, sitting wedged in his corner. Owen tried to pick him up and was startled at the man's weight. He could barely move him. Augmentations, no doubt. He tried again, and still couldn't lift him. Owen struggled with the unmoving form and cursed it between coughs. Air was getting scarce, but he hadn't come this far to leave the Hayden man behind and run for the door. He boosted, and new strength flooded through his muscles. He pulled Moon to his feet, draped an arm over his shoulder, and headed to where he thought the far door was. The smoke was everywhere now, thick and smothering. It was like walking at the bottom of a great gray sea. He could feel the heat of flames on both sides of him. And then Hazel was suddenly there with him, adding her strength to his. And between them, they got the Hayden men out the far door and down the narrow corridor beyond, and finally out into the clearer air of the main airlock. The door slammed shut behind them. Owen leaned back against it as he dropped out of boost, and the last of the strength went out of his legs. He dumped Moon unceremoniously on the floor and sat there beside him for a while, coughing foul stuff up out of his lungs. After a while, he felt strong enough to raise his head and look around, and wasn't surprised to find Hazel sitting next to him, looking almost as bad as he felt. Ruby Journey and Jack Random were sitting together, a little way apart. They had their guns in their hands, and although they both looked a bit pale, they were keeping a watchful eye on the outer hatch. Tobias Moon lay flat on his back, eyes closed, breathing steadily. Owen sniffed.
Nice landing, Moon. Sure you couldn't have shaken us about a bit more?
He stopped talking as he realized how harsh his voice sounded. His throat felt as though someone had scoured it with wire wool. Hazel looked at him sardonically.
We're down and we're still alive. Anything else is a bonus. Any idea why Moon is still out? He doesn't seem injured.
Beats me. I can't get any response out of Oz, either. Maybe they were both knocked out when the computer systems finally crashed.
Actually, I'm conserving power. Moon pretty much drained the ship's batteries, getting us down. I'm going to have to go offline for a while, Owen. The ship's a mess, and so am I. Short of a complete refit and rebuilding, the ship's not going anywhere, and neither are we. Unless you've fallen in love with this planet and decided to settle down here, you'd better pray that someone at the last standing is feeling hospitable.
How badly are you damaged?
Don't ask. You don't want to know. You're not far from the standing, about half a mile north-northwest, walking distance under normal circumstances, which these aren't. In case you hadn't noticed, it's an oven out there, and it's just going to get hotter as the day goes on.
What about the air?
Your lungs are about to go slumming, but it won't kill you. There are a lot of other things out there that'll take care of that. For the moment, the local wildlife is giving you plenty of room, but there's no telling how long that'll last. I'm getting readings on life forms everywhere, from very small to extremely large, and everything in between. Can't give you any details. The sensors took a real battering.
Any recommendations?
Yes. Shoot yourselves now and get it over with. From what I can make out, everything out there that moves is attacking everything else, whether it moves or not, and eating it. Their place is a slaughterhouse. No signs of intelligence or cooperation. Just if it moves, jump it. Reminds me of Imperial politics on a larger-than-usual scale.
Nice place you've brought us to, Deathstalker.
Owen thought hard. There was only one course of action that made any sense, but he couldn't help hoping he could come up with something less obviously suicidal. Unfortunately, he seemed to have backed himself into a corner, technically speaking. He looked round at his companions and wondered if his face was as grim as theirs.
We can't stay here. Sunstrutter is falling apart at the seams, and I think it would be in all our best interests to be a long way from here when it finally goes critical. Given the unfriendly and downright homicidal nature of the local wildlife, I think our best bet is to make a run for the last standing and hope we can find some sanctuary there.
Let me see if I've got this right. We're going to fight our way through half a mile of alien carnage and slaughter in order to reach some ruin that's been deserted for hundreds of years, if it's there at all. That's our plan?
Got it in one.
All right, I'm up for it. I could use a little exercise.
Owen gave her a hard look, but she didn't seem to be joking. It may not be all bad news. According to family legend, the Last Standing is supposed to be a massive structure with considerable technological defenses. Assuming we can get past those defenses, we should find my ancestor still there, held in stasis. If we can wake him, I'm sure he'll help.
There's a lot of ifs and maybes and all that. I don't have much faith in legends anymore. The last time we went looking for one, we found him.
She looked severely at Jack Random, who glared right back at her. Hazel sniffed and turned back to Owen.
Come on, Owen, what are our chances, really?
Not good, but all the alternatives are worse.
I seem to be hearing that a lot just recently, ever since I joined up with you, in fact. I should have stayed at home and become an accountant like Mother wanted. There's always work for an accountant, and people very rarely shoot at them. Or maroon them on savage planets with no table manners.
Oh, I don't know. I can think of quite a few accountants I'd have cheerfully dumped somewhere unpleasant. Right next to the lawyers. Owen looked across at Tobias Moon, who was still lying flat on his back, dead to the world. He'd better wake up soon, because I'm damned if I'm carrying a great lump like him through half a mile of homicidal jungle.
We could always use him as a shield, or a battering ram.
If I didn't have such a good nature, I'd stay unconscious and let you carry me.
Eavesdroppers rarely hear well of themselves.
I believe that's the point.
Moon sat up slowly.
Everything seems to be functioning again. Hopefully we can find some energy crystals at the last standing. I used up most of my reserves getting us down in one piece. Not a bad landing, if I say so myself.
I'd hate to be on one of your bad ones.
You're alive, aren't you?
Enough chat and friendly banter. It's time we were moving. Oz, how long have we got before the Sunstrider goes into meltdown?
I should leave right now. I'm going to have to shut down, Owen. You'll have to struggle on without me. If you find compatible hardware at the standing, download me into that. Otherwise, you're on your own. Try not to get yourself killed.
I'll do my best.